You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
There is no off-season for volunteering. We're asking the best fans in the NFL to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in your local community. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. Nathan Zagura and Vic Carucci. Also want to extend our congratulations at this time to David Blatt, who has reached an agreement with the Cavaliers to become the team's next head coach, according to the Plain Dealer. So the Cavs coach in line there, David Blatt, congratulations to him. And hopefully this means a nice turnaround in conjunction with the one for the Browns for the Cavaliers as well. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, we go now to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline and bring in Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Nate, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Nate, training camp schedule announced today. One big part of that is that family night will take place in Akron as opposed to at First Energy Stadium as they try to get that still ready to rock and roll. But in Akron this year, from an Akron perspective, pretty big deal, no?
It's a huge deal. I was born and raised in Akron. I still live right outside Akron. I live like probably two football fields from the border of West Akron and Fairlawn. And, I think it's going to be just a huge event for the city. I mean, for the University of Akron and for the Browns, I think that, not only is the university really going to be spotlighted and the really beautiful new stadium that the university has, but there's going to be a huge crowd in downtown Akron, and it's going to affect all the surrounding businesses. I think it's just a really good thing. I think that I see a lot of positive in it. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to me. First Energy Stadium is still under construction. It's on time and on budget, it's not ready yet, and you still want to hold a special event like this. You still want to have a scrimmage and a family day, and I think the perfect solution was to take it somewhere. And having seen that stadium and been to some games at the University of Akron, the InfoCision Stadium. It opened in 2009. It's an amazing stadium for those who haven't seen it yet or been in it. It really is state-of-the-art, and I think it'll be really enjoyable to see the Browns there. And I really I can't say enough good things about this decision by the Browns and by the university. I think it's a home run.
Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. He is joining us via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Yeah, Nate, I agree with you. It's something special. It's different because we've sort of seen they become somewhat routine, even though they're fun. Having been held at First Energy Stadium before at night last year on a Saturday night, and you had a nice crowd and it had a nice little effect. I think something like this on a Saturday morning or late Saturday morning in a different location, a different setting, and really probably maybe drawing a different set of fans, right? I mean, Browns fans are throughout Northeast Ohio, but I think this is going to bring aboard maybe a fan base that doesn't get quite as close to this team as regularly as it does. And I think this opens up new opportunities there, does it not?
Absolutely. And I think I'd be surprised if, there aren't a lot of college kids going, even though school will be out. But, the university is really, for those who aren't in Akron on a regular basis like I am, it's really built up the area, and there's a ton of new buildings and a lot of student housing. There's been a lot of development there in recent years, and that includes, a lot of new restaurants and businesses. And, the city has a lot, going for it in that respect. There's a huge following in Akron and all of Northeast Ohio for the Browns. So I think, with a venue like this, it makes a lot of sense. And I think that you are going to reach people who you wouldn't, who normally might not, go up to First Energy Stadium for the family night just because of it's a half hour driving, you know, when you have a family, and this is an event geared towards family and toward kids, you know, sometimes it can be difficult. So I do think that they're going to reach, you know, more of their fans this way. And I think it's kind of capitalizing on, you know, a golden opportunity with First Energy Stadium being under construction. They're taking advantage of it and turning it into a real positive, in my opinion.
They certainly are. That's right. Family Day will be at Infocision Stadium in Akron on August 2nd, and it will be the first time Family Day has extended outside of Cleveland, which is good, as you talked about, Nate, for fans from Akron and beyond to enjoy live Browns competition. For those who don't know, since 1946, the Browns have played 19 preseason games in Akron, the most recent being back in 1973, drawing over 30,750 fans to that game. That's where they will be there. Now, the other practices in Berea, and fans, you can register at www.clevelandbrowns.com/brownscamp14 for those practices. Nate, what are you most anticipating about training camp this year?
Well, it's as usual, it's the position battles. It's, you know, the top of the list is the quarterback, the starting quarterback job, Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel. Can Brian Hoyer hold off Johnny Manziel? If I had to bet, I would bet Brian Hoyer will hold off Johnny Manziel and we'll start week one. I think Brian Hoyer's right knee is a huge factor in the competition, and I just hope that, you know, for Brian's sake, because I know what kind of guy he is, how badly he wants to retain his job and how hard he's worked, I just hope for his sake that his knee isn't what costs him this competition, you know, that he had, that his knee allows him to put up a fair fight. If it does, I would pencil him in for week one. And of course that's the one everyone's going to talk about, but there's a lot of other interesting position battles that are going to be going on, you know, running back, guard, receiver, cornerback, inside linebacker, you know, to name a few off the top of my head.
You know, the other thing we saw, and we're visiting with Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. The other thing we saw, Nate, in just these off-season workouts is some real intensity, I think, springing from this competition that resulted in some chippiness. And, you know, maybe the same guys were involved in the fracases, Garrett Gilkey on the offensive side, Phil Taylor on defense. But still, I think the boiling over of some tempers and such at the and non-contact off-season workouts leads me to wonder what it's going to be like when the sun is going to be blazing that much hotter, humidity that much higher, and we're going to be out there and pads are going to be on. And I just get the feeling that we're going to probably see a lot more of those incidents.
Brouhaha.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think it will only get more intense. If we were seeing that in OTAs and mandatory minicamp, I think we saw two skirmishes Garrett Gilkey was involved in, including the one with Phil Taylor that really escalated to kind of a full-out, you know, exchange of uppercuts and haymakers.
Yeah.
I think definitely, you know, Vic, you bring up a good point because, you know, the position battles, I mean, that's something to always look for, and that's where most of your storylines are going to kind of stem from. But just seeing the, you know, the evolution of the team under the new coaching staff and under Mike Pettine and just seeing what kind of attitude it develops is going to be another interesting thing. And I think when the pads come on, which it's going to be July 28th, 2 days after the first full squad practice of training camp, I think we're going to get to see more and more of that.
I certainly agree with you there. Talk with Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal here on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Nate, Mike Pettine, you want to talk about a little bit of attitude? He obviously always is displaying that. The recent interview we did with Greg Bedard on Monday Morning Quarterback certainly ruffled some feathers, especially those of Rex Ryan and Bill Belichick. What do you make of that whole situation?
I find it pretty amusing.
I do too.
You know, Mike Pettine has to stand up there and answer, you know, after practice and answer all kinds of questions about Johnny Manziel controversies, and now Mike Pettine's starting a controversy of his own. So I find that kind of funny. You know, Mike Pettine he's a writer's dream. I've said it before. The guy's a quote machine. He's going to shoot you straight. He's going to be direct. And I think he just kind of let it, you know, his opinions fly a little bit in that interview about the playbook stuff. And I thought it was pretty funny. I'm curious. I'm sure, you know, Rex Ryan, you know, I know Pettine's comments ruffled some feathers a little bit, but I'm curious to see or curious to find out, and maybe we never will, but it would be nice to know what the next conversation between those two guys is like, because I think it could be pretty hilarious. just knowing the character that, you know, Rex Ryan is, and I don't think Mike Pettine pulled any punches. So, I thought it was pretty amusing, and really it's kind of, I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's much ado about nothing, but I'll tell you, there were some good quotes from Rex Ryan yesterday. And that certainly is entertaining, to say the least.
No, there's no doubt. It's made for, again, in the, quote, slower time of year, it's made things a little more interesting. You know, last thing, Nate, for me is just we discussed this earlier in the show, Nathan and I did, with regard to the health of some of the players, particularly at that receiver position. Do you get a sense – are you optimistic – that we're going to get to see enough of Miles Austin and Nate Burleson out there to give a true sense of what the receiver position is going to look like, knowing that it's going to have some sort of dramatic shift at the very minimum at one spot, and that, of course, being the Josh Gordon spot?
Yeah, I mean, Burleson got out there toward the end of OTAs, maybe it was just minicamp. He was out there minicamp for sure. So that's a positive sign. Miles Austin, you know, was a guy who was kind of in and out. He was sidelined more than he was practicing throughout the spring. But yeah, I mean, you got to hope that, right? I mean, they're really banking on some guys who have injury concerns, and who are a little bit older now, and that's Burleson and Austin, to kind of carry them, you know, especially, with, you know, the thought that Josh Gordon's going to be gone. Andrew Hawkins is there, but that's another guy, and I think Andrew Hawkins really showed the kind of potential that he has through the spring as a slot receiver. But he's another guy, if you look at his career, who hasn't, you know, always played full seasons, has dealt with injuries. He's probably one of the quickest guys in the NFL, but, you know, he's also one of the smallest, and you know, that can lead to durability issues. Then you've got Travis Benjamin and, you know, Charles Johnson, who's kind of an unknown factor here because we haven't really seen him practice at all. Those guys are coming off torn ACLs. So this receiver, I would have to say, if there's anything that really would scare me heading into the season, it's definitely the receiver position, because you're dealing with a lot of guys and counting on a lot of guys who are either coming off injuries or have injury histories, and there's no, you know, bona fide number one if you take Gordon out of the mix. So I really expect Ray Farmer to continue to look at, you know, adding receivers. I think some guys who are, you know, cut from other teams this summer are going to end up with the Browns. I have no doubt that this is going to be an ongoing thing with the receiver position.
Yeah, right. I think that's probably true, and like we said, we're going to see some guys at training camp we haven't seen yet this year: Austin, Burleson, Benjamin, and Charles Johnson. A lot of intrigue there, no doubt.
All right, Nate Ulrich, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Nate joined us via from the Akron Beacon Journal, via the Ohio Business Machines hotline. We stay on the hotline to bring in with us right now the Vice President of Fan Experience and Marketing for the Cleveland Browns, Kevin Griffin, the Cavalcade of Stars, continuing. Hello, Kevin.
Vic and Nathan, how you guys doing?
KG!
What's going on?
Nothing. This is glorious. Training camp, the dates announced today. Family night will be in Akron at InfoCision Stadium Saturday, August the 2nd. Talk a little bit about the decision to move that to Akron this year and the excitement around camp in general.
Well, you know, as you two know, and being here in the building all the time and being around Jimmy and Alec, you know, we made a commitment to really connect with our fans, and our fans are right here in Northeast Ohio, but they're also all around the state and all around the country. So when we have an opportunity to take an event like Family Day, Family Night, off campus, it's nice for us to reach another audience that typically can't get into our training camp or over to the stadium. So it's just nice to continue to spread the word and get the Browns out and about all throughout the state of Ohio.
And let's talk about camp in general, just having it and Berea, the schedule that's in place, but the anticipation, Kevin, that this is going to be an extremely well-attended camp, that there's greater interest, I think, in this team than we've seen in a long, long time. What about the club's preparations and handling of that?
Yeah, and you know, it's something that we had talked about. I think I arrived here last year in May 2013, and one of the things that I noticed right away was that we weren't very good as an organization in being what I call a digital 21st century organization. We didn't capture data, which didn't allow us to then communicate back with our fans and understand our fan base in a more broad way, give us a real good mosaic. And so one of the things that we had talked about last year but weren't able to implement was a registration system for our large events. And this year we had enough runtime to go through a proper planning phase and find the right vendors and everyone else that could help us pull this off. So we had been planning on, you know, having a registration process in place for our fans to make it a little bit more streamlined for our fans and deliver a better service. So we will have that in place this year. All fans have to register for training camp to get a free ticket to come to training camp. So that's going to be nice. And again, long plan in place. We did the same thing for our draft night party, and it went really well. It just allows us the opportunity to communicate directly to those folks who we know are registered for an event. Let me give you an example. Let's say there's a thunderstorm coming through. We know we're going to have to cancel practice. We have that information well in advance. Now we can pinpoint exactly who we need to let know. Don't come out here. Practice is closed. And it makes it much more convenient for those fans who are going to travel here to Berea to watch the Browns.
Yes, and you can register right now to attend practice sessions by visiting clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsCamp14. I'm sorry, on Thursday you will be able to do that at 10 a.m. is when registration starts. 10 a.m. on Thursday, clevelandbrowns.com/BrownsCamp14 is the address you will need. Kevin Griffin, the Vice President of Fan Experience, joining us here on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. And Kevin, last year, 56,306 fans attended Browns training camp when you combine the 13 open practices and family night. What kind of numbers are the Browns looking at this year, and what is being done, if anything, to kind of enhance the experience, knowing that there will be probably such a big attendance in 2014?
Well, you know, everything that we measure from a business standpoint is really, really beginning to rock and roll, really beginning to take off. And you guys know this. We talk about this oftentimes here in the building. Just our digital numbers have exploded, and interest for the team is measured in, you know, how we're performing from a digital standpoint, merchandise that we're selling, tickets that we're selling. You know, this weekend we're traveling down with Barkevious Mingo and Hanford Dixon to Columbus to do a fan fest / Browns backers event on Saturday the 21st. And, you know, we're expecting over 300 guests at Callahan. So if you're in Columbus, folks, please show up. Well, it'll be a great time. So things are going well. It really, really feels good to finally have some momentum and the pendulum swinging in the right direction for us. So, you know, with that also becomes a responsibility to make sure that everything we do for our fans is top notch. So we'll obviously continue to enhance our ingress at training camp and extend that into the game day. So fans will come in. They'll be much more tunneled and funneled through. We'll have great food like we did last year. We enhanced our food service at training camp with gourmet food trucks. We'll have that again. I don't know if we'll have this yet, but we're working on like a zip line for kids, which we think will be awesome. I wanted to do a huge water slide, but there was no place to put all the water. So we're looking for like a zip line. So Carlos and staff are working on that. So just always thinking about our young fans, always thinking about a family-friendly environment and things that are unique and that we've not done before. So that's just at least a little bit into the mindset of what we're trying to do. And I think fans that attended camp last year would tell you that it was a much improved experience over camps in the past.
There's no doubt about that. By the way, Kevin Griffin joins us. He is the Browns Vice President of Fan Experience and Marketing via the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Kevin, you said that last year, better food choices. It had a definite feel of something special going on there. But the inherent issue is you only have a limited amount of space, obviously, in Berea to work with. And I know you're trying to maximize that and do some different things that will make it feel different. But at the end of the day, you only have so much space. The rest of it has to be out there for Mike Pettine to train his football team. As you look forward, are there some thoughts about ways that you can expand the experience? Does it mean you'd have to move camp to accommodate maybe more people being there? What are some of the thoughts along those lines?
Well, as it relates to like moving camp off campus here, that's really a football conversation that Mike and Ray would have to lead for us. And if they're comfortable with it, then and that's something they want to do, then you know Alec and the rest of us will line up behind them and figure out the best way to support them. So it has to start with those guys, and I know Mike has mentioned that in the media before, so you can only imagine we're already doing some work to figure that out from a football standpoint. Sure. As well as a business standpoint. But you know, I'll give you an example of other things. Although the space is limited, one of the things that we're trying to do a better job is make our players and alumni available. You know, last year we didn't have any of our alumni out to sign autographs. We're working closely with Tony Dick and Kevin Mack to make sure that as many practices as we can have will showcase and highlight some of those alumni that have meant so much to this team and this community, having them sign autographs. We'll make sure that we got players and pushing them out after practice to sign as many autographs as possible. Obviously, nothing is promised, but we'll continue to push those players to interact with the fans. And I thought one of the things that Chud did a really nice job of last year is, you know, every other practice he would figure out some way to engage with the fans. And you guys may remember he pulled out two fans from the crowd last year and they got to kick a field goal at the end of practice. And if one of them made it, the offense didn't have to do the post. They didn't have meetings that night. And the other one made it, then the defense didn't have to make it, have meetings that night. And so those kind of opportunities were really fun. And by the way, both of those fans happened to make the kick. And it was a really, really cool moment. So always continue to figure out ways to keep fans engaged, have some community work going on. Renee and Jenner do a great job in that area from our back-to-school drive for supplies and then our blood drive. So the training camp is just really, it should be a festival is how we look at it. It should be a celebration of Cleveland Browns football, of our players, our heritage and history and all that we do. And so it's a collective effort that everyone is involved in. And obviously, we all get excited when we get to see footballs flying around in the air.
I can't wait. And training camp kicks off Saturday, July the 26th at 9:30 a.m. A different start time this year for training camp, Mr. Griffin.
Yeah, you know, again, football operations decision, coach decision, in morning time. I know it makes it difficult for you guys to get up early, you prima donnas, but you'll be there.
Covered. Yes.
And you know what? You might even talk about what you guys are going to do. We've talked internally about these live look-ins that we started last year,
sure,
something we're really excited about. You know, I if you don't mind, I just turn it over to you guys and say, let me ask the questions for a minute. What are you guys expecting at camp, and how are those live look-ins going to work, and how do we promote those so fans get on there and watch it?
Well, all right, if you don't mind, first thing, we decided, by the way, that the schedule
was set up for us. Yes.
Oh, that's good
because
for you.
Because we're off at 12:10, and now we can now talk about what we saw as opposed to the
food
practice starting after the show,
right,
which was last year. That always upset us greatly. But anyway,
right,
so we got that. But, yeah, Kevin, I could see with Andy Hecht, of course, our fine director of content production, getting our cameras out there, Drew Boatner, Paul Taylor, doing our live look-ins. And I think depending on what Coach Pettine is comfortable with from the amount of time, and we're mindful, very mindful of when the cameras, what drills are showing and such in the background, that Nathan and I would be all over that. And then also our ability to maybe interact with some fans. I had a thought about something we tried a couple of years ago, but, you know, have some kind of a CBD presence, even where we, Nathan and I, can do some interacting and conduct kind of a live radio show out there with our fan base. Have some fun with that.
Yeah, you know, I think there's the timing of it could be better, as we talked about, because we'll be able to watch practice, digest it, and come right on the air. So I'm excited about that. And I think everything we can do, especially with the power of the app now, the redesigned Cleveland Browns app, also the redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com webpage, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity to engage the fans, give them look-ins, because we know this year, it's not like other years where if you wanted to go to practice for a training camp, you pretty much got to go to practice. People are going to be, you know, registering online. We're anticipating a lot of sellouts at training camp. So for those of you not able to be there on a daily basis, you're going to be, or if you work, by the way, you're going to be able to watch this at ClevelandBrowns.com, get it through the app. And I think there are a lot of opportunities for us to be right on the field, interact with the players and coaches immediately following practice, and then have that content available on the website, on the app, and then, of course, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
And, you know, guys, it's so important for our fans. And we talk about connecting with our fans and becoming more regional and making sure fans hear directly from us what's going on. And you both do such a great job with that, and folks trust what you say. And so camp's going to be fun for a lot of different reasons, but you guys will be busy. We look forward to working you pretty hard during the training camp.
We for can't sure. wait.
Zagura wants to throw routes out there, just so you know.
I am.
You
I am.
He does. Does everybody? I don't know if your listeners know that Nathan fashions himself as a quarterback still.
Like fifth Montana string.
He'll get out there. Yeah.
Fifth
right.
string. I'm looking for fifth string. I don't know if it exists. That's all I'm looking for.
Kevin, that's thank awesome. You. Thank you very much. We appreciate
you've seen
the
me
time.
Sling the pill, KG. There's a little bit of pop left in this rifle.
He does still have an arm. I will admit that, yes.
Yeah. Yep. Beautiful.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right, that's Kevin Griffin, the Vice President of Fan Experience Marketing for the Cleveland Browns, joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. We've got so much ahead for you. We're just scratching the surface. Greg Bedard, SI Senior Writer, MMQB, did an amazing piece on Mike Pettine that's had a lot of fallout since, so we're going to bring Greg Bedard aboard to talk about that and other Browns topics. Kevin Jones, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, he'll join us at 2:30. Want to hear from you in the meantime, 216-578-0850. Also hit us up on Twitter at Browns_daily or at Nathan Zagura or at me, Vic Carucci. Want to hear from you. It's a football Friday, so much to talk about. CBD, ESPN 850, WKNR.